Well, go ahead and get your Bible. Go with me to Hebrews once again in the third chapter of Hebrews as we go to verse number 7. Let me just set you up. Now, I want you to hear me now. I set you up in thinking as far as understanding where we're going, why we're going there. This starts an area of understanding the Word of God that is absolutely fabulous. This starts for the next number of months. You don't want to miss a message. It is exciting. It is alive. In fact, you're going to get it just a little bit of verse number 7 today and just start the understanding. Let me give you a background. Here God is starting to talk about Israel. Israel, God has them out of Egypt in the desert and wants to take them to the promised land. God wants to take you to your promised land. You have a personal promised land waiting for you from God. And they wouldn't hear what he had to say. They wouldn't do what he said. And you will find that it's an overview for us to understand the one word that because of unbelief, they wouldn't go into their promised land. And that's easy to say and easy to understand. Hear me now. The question that gets deep is why did they have an unbelief system operating in what God said that kept them from the promised land? And if you have an unbelief system operating in your life that keeps you from the promised land, I could be just like everybody and tell you they kept out of the promised land because of unbelief. Here's my thing. Why did they have unbelief so that I can understand it? Why? So that I can understand how I will not have unbelief because of that same situation. And so we can enter into our personal promised land that God has for each and every one of us. Some of you, God wants to do great, mighty, marvelous things with. Some of you, God wants to do a phenomenal activity. God wants to do far beyond you can ever imagine, ever think, take you someplace you have never gone, do something you've never done, be something you've never done, say something you've never been able to say before. God wants to do something in your life, but unless you understand the process, you'll never get to the position. And the process is outlined in the scripture as we go to it over the next number of months, which is really incredibly and very exciting. I'll read to you, if I may, out of Hebrews, the third chapter. If you're making a note, the title of the message is Hearing the Challenging Voice of the Lord. Before I read, just let me tell you something. Oftentimes, God will want to take us to our personal promised land where the blessings are overflowing us. But in order for us to do that, we're going to have to hear from God. And what God says oftentimes doesn't fit with our way of doing life. And it becomes a challenge to us. And we stop right in our tracks and we never go any further because it doesn't make sense or it doesn't feel right or it doesn't look right or isn't logical. And we back off just like the children of Israel, and we call it unbelief, but there's more to it than just doing that. And here's this challenging word that God is speaking to get them into their promised land, and they're resisting it and don't do it. And the reason for that is because they didn't know how to deal with the voice of the Lord that was speaking to them. And that's what we're getting into, because God wants to speak to you where to go and what to do and how to do it so that you can prosper in every area of your life. Just real quick, therefore, it says in Hebrews 3rd chapter, verse 7, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, and I love this word, if, biggest little word in the Bible, if you will hear his voice. And a lot of times we say to ourselves, I hear, but we never really hear enough to do. In fact, let me take you to Revelation, the if you will, in the third chapter, in verse number 20. I'll just pop it up on the overhead. Jesus is speaking. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. In other words, there'll be an intimate personal relationship of benefit from our relationship. But you're going to have to do two things. One, you're going to have to hear and you're going to have to open. A lot of times we'll hear, but why don't we open? You know oftentimes why we don't open? Because we don't know who's on the other side of the door. We don't know with what they're saying and how they're saying it. We don't understand what they're meaning, what they're saying. In fact, if you live in San Bernardino, when someone knocks on your door, you do not just open it. You might make sure you know who it is on the other side. That's why you have those little peepholes in your doors. You know what I'm talking about. And so we have a whole lot of people that hear. Did these people in Israel that were going into the promised land, did they hear? Yes, they heard, they saw, they knew who God was. God had done great miracles right before them. It wasn't just about unbelief. They were challenged in their whole entire existence system that kept them from operating to move into the promised land, because the words that God had spoken in there was so contrary to their lifestyle. It challenged them in such a way that they couldn't get out of where they were at and get into where God is that in order to get into the promised land. There's many reasons why you and I don't open when we hear. Fear and activities and frustrations and past failures and who we are and lacks of this and lack of that. And we don't open the door when God has something great and mighty ahead of us. And I don't want to be accused of that. But I found when God wants to take you to a great place, let me say it again. I found when God wants to take you to a great place, one more time, I want you to hear this. I want you to hear it clearly. When God wants to take you to a great place, he will oftentimes speak to you a word and it will challenge your very being. And if you don't know that it's God, you will never operate it. If you don't know that's the very character, nature, and attributes of God to challenge who you are, to get you out of yourself and to get you into him in order to get you to the promised land that God has for you, you will stop in your tracks and never do anything. For most of us, that's the way we are. We've got to not only hear, but we've got to open. Learning how to open is oftentimes difficult when the word that you hear is challenging your existence. Five things that God gave me. I'm going to go through them quite rapidly today. I'm not going to give you a bunch of illustrations, a bunch of this. We're just going to use the word. We're going to stay in the Old Testament. I've categorized them into five different areas. I'm going to go number one, number two, number three, so that you can just systematically put them together and figure it out and easily understand what I'm saying. Because his voice will challenge you in five areas. And that's where we're going today. His voice will challenge. Number one area. He'll challenge your personal security and comfort. When God speaks, he's going to get you out of what you think is secure and get you out of what you think is comfortable. And get you to a place where there's real security and real comfort. You have never been designed by God, the maker of the heavens and the earth, the creator of you, to find any security and comfort in stuff outside of God. And when you find your security and comfort in something else other than God, I promise you, your cage will be rattled to the place where you will find yourself having to dismiss that comfort area and that security area and get back to the reality that your security and comfort has got to come from God Almighty, not from the systems of this world. And he will challenge your comfort zones, and he will challenge your own personal security until you get to the place where you are in him and he is strong in you and he is your everything. including the comfort and security. Without it, my friends, we find ourselves relying on something other than God. I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to stay in the Old Testament. So go with me, if you will, into Genesis, the very 12th chapter of Genesis. And look at a man's life by the name of Abram. You may not know who Abram is, but his life and his name was Abraham, who you know him better as, the father of faith, the first Hebrew believer. Let me set you up for this verse in the 12th chapter. We find out shortly before I'm going to read to you out of the verse that he was a man from the land of Ur. And he was a moon worshiper. Yes, can you imagine the first Hebrew? The one who believed in God first, that brought the promises on. He was a moon worshiper and a cultist. But he had a heart for God. And when he realized there was a certain God that was real and wasn't a cult, all of a sudden it awakened his heart towards God. And now God had to speak to him to get him someplace away from his own personal security and comfort. And here we find in Genesis, the 12th chapter, in verse number 1, here's what the word of God says. And now the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I don't know if you know this or not. He was rich. He was the son of a very wealthy and very powerful father. His wealth was known in the land. He was recognized and approved and accepted by men. When he spoke, people listened. He had appreciation. When he walked through the streets, people bowed before him. He was a very wealthy man. He had it all together. His security system was in place. His comfort system was settled. He had a retirement program from his family that none other had. And now all of a sudden God speaks to him a most unusual and challenging word. Listen, he says these words, get out of your... Do you see it? Get out of your country. In his country, he was comfortable. In his country, he was secure. In his country, he had a place. In his country, he had a future. In his country, I would have said to God, oh God, why can't you and I have a relationship right here? Why do I have to go? He says, leave your family, get away from your father's house and the wealth that is available to you, and I'll take you someplace, and now I'm going to bring you into a new comfort zone. I'm going to bring you into a new personal security, and God will challenge when he leads you somewhere to get you out of where you're at, into where you need to be, and oftentimes that's difficult. Is anybody listening? We're talking about his voice that challenges the children of Israel. When God told them to go into the promised land, they didn't want to go. They wanted the promised land, but they didn't want to fight. They didn't want to deal with the situation. They were going to have to get into a situation they didn't like. Personally challenged in every area. They never got into the promised land. Unbelief, yes, but more than belief, unbelief, they couldn't handle the challenging word of God. Let's go a little deeper than just unbelief. The second thing that God wants me to share with you, and his voice will challenge, not only will it challenge your personal security and comfort, but it'll challenge your personal thinking. You've got your own ideas about how life ought to work. You've been trained by society and social systems all of your life. You know how things ought to be. You know how things ought to work. You know how things ought to be. You know what's right. You know what's wrong. You know how to exist. You know how to gather data, come up with a conclusion, and make a decision for a direction. You know how to do that. And all of us have our own personal thinking, but I've got good news for you. I want you to hear what I'm going to say to you, because God's thinking is a whole lot more advanced than any of our thinking. And sometimes it's hard to get out of our thinking and get into His way of thinking. We want Him to get into our thinking instead of us getting into His thinking. And God will challenge you always in your own personal thinking on how things ought to be. There's the story of Moses, and you know the story. He leads the one who led the children of Israel out of the bondage of Pharaoh. You may not know this part of the story. This part of the story is a little bit different. When he was a young man, he was raised by Pharaoh's sister. Pharaoh himself, the most powerful ruling, reigning monarch on the planet, was his uncle. Raised in the wealth and the kingdom of the Egyptians, with all the prestige and power and glamour and glory, this man had it all. And then he realized that he was from his roots an Israelite, and he was one who was part of the tribes of Jacob, and he was one who wanted to come to the defense of an abused Hebrew, and he fought a soldier that was an Egyptian soldier and killed that soldier in order to save the life of this Israelite. After he murders this Israelite on his own power, we find something taking place. He's running for his life, and for 40 years, he's in the wilderness. Egypt has finally stopped trying to find him, because they want him. They want to get a hold of him. They want to kill him. They want to display him as a traitor. They want him to be shown up for what he really is. Nothing but a Hebrew believer who has caused problems to the Pharaoh himself and brought him personal embarrassment into the house of Pharaoh. And they come and they leave him alone, and 40 years later he meets up with God. And God speaks to him in Exodus, the 3rd chapter. You got your Bible? And what God says to him challenges his personal thinking. God could have probably said anything but what he said, it would have been acceptable. In Exodus, the 3rd chapter, verse number 10, God's speaking and says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Now, for most of us, we read that, don't think anything of it, man. But when he's going back there, he's putting himself in jeopardy. Listen, right thinking says I'm going to die. Right thinking says they're going to lock me up. Right thinking says they're going to persecute me. Right thinking says they're going to make a mockery out of me. Right thinking means, who am I to challenge Pharaoh? I'm now just a shepherd in the wilderness for 40 years. I'm a nobody. I have nothing. And now I'm going back and I'm going to tell Pharaoh, who doesn't like me, who's been hunting me, been waiting for me, wants to kill me. Now I'm going to go back to Pharaoh? I would have said, forget it. Ask my brother. Which is a great answer. You would have too. It challenged his personal thinking. It challenged all reality and rationalization. It challenged where he was at. He finally had to get to the place where he was the man that God wanted to use. You will find that God will challenge your personal security and comfort and challenge your personal thinking. We're talking about his voice will challenge. Here's number three. His voice will challenge, number three, your personal ability. You see that for most of us, we don't believe we can be used by God. For most of us that are in this room right now, we don't even really believe that God even knows who we are or even really cares about us, let alone use us. After all, who are we? We're uneducated. We don't know what's going on. We don't know how to be used by God. We don't know what's up. We don't know what's right. We don't know where to go, how to do things, what kind of ability we have. We don't have the talent. We don't have the gifting. How in the world could God possibly use me? I want you to know something. If you're sitting there today and you have no ability, that you're saying you are a perfect candidate for God to use. Perfect, because God takes the frail things, the weak things, the things that the world considers nothing, and uses them in a great way. Because it's not your ability God's looking at, it's your heart that God's looking at. And God today is developing your heart so that He can take you into your own personal promised land. There's a story in Judges, you might want to turn there, about a guy named Gideon. Some of you know the story, but I'll set you up with what's going on and then read to you what God says. Gideon is this one who is in Israel. It's really kind of a wimpy person, a sissy, if you will. You see, they have an enemy in Israel by the Midianites. And the Midianites were intimidating on every front the Israelites. Anytime they had any sheep, the Midianites would raid and take their sheep away from them. Anytime they had any food, the Midianites would raid and take the food away. It was a horrible situation. They were under constant pressure all the time. They had no ability whatsoever to resist the Midianites. This man Gideon is found, as he's introduced to us in the scripture, is a man who had a little bit of wheat. He's hiding behind a wine press and he's threshing this wheat out in order to eat. He's hiding from the Midianites because he knows they'll come and take it away from him and he'll have nothing. So therefore he's hiding from them in fear of them. And then God speaks to him in Judges, the 6th chapter. And in verse number 12, this weak little man who's hiding from the Midianites, in verse 12, an angel of the Lord appears unto him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor." You got to be kidding. The guy's a sissy hiding. And then verse number 14 comes along and makes the most amazing statement. And the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. I have sent you." In other words, God's not looking at his personal ability. Notice what he said. The ability that you have is not what you are. The ability that you have is who you have. And we so stop in our lives because of our own personal ability. We don't read very good. We're not very smart. We don't know how to make wise decisions. We've made wrong decisions. Our past dictates how we live our life today because we're people without any kind of ability at all. And let me tell you something. God's not looking for ability. God's looking for somebody who will just let him in and be our ability. And he comes along and he says, "Go in this might of yours." What might? That God is with him. It's the same might you have. You businessmen, listen to me. You don't have any ability. "Well, if I just had..." You have God. "But if I had..." You have God. "But if I had..." You have God. "But if I only had this..." You have God. "I have to have this to get started." You have God. Let me tell you something. For somebody who's going to do something with a God anointing on them, you're going to have to understand it is not your ability or the stuff you have. It is the ability of God that you let flow through you to get the job done. God will challenge your personal ability. Because we always make an excuse, I can't. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I've never been able to. I can't. No one in my family ever has. But I'm here to tell you something. It's not about your family or what you've done before in the past. It's what you'll let God do in the future. That's what this is all about. Is anybody listening? We're talking about His voice that challenges. It'll challenge your personal security. It'll challenge your personal comfort. It'll challenge your personal thinking. It'll challenge your personal ability. And listen to this. It'll challenge your status quo on how you know life to be. Sometimes you know how life ought to work out and how it seems it's working out. And God wants to change the directions of your life. And it will challenge your status quo. There's this young man, his name is Elisha. You know him as a prophet, but before he was a prophet, there was a prophet in the man in the land by the name of Elijah. Elijah was going to seek out a man to follow after him, and he seeks out and finds a man by the name of Elisha. Elisha is the younger one. And it's an interesting verse found in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter. Go there with me. And in verse number 19, there's an interesting verse about the meeting of these two men, of Elijah and Elisha, that really says something. We're talking about challenging your personal status quo, how you think life is and how it's being set up. Verse number 19 of the 19th chapter says this. Elijah, speaking of Elijah, the older. And so he departed and he found Elisha, the son of Zarephath, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle on him. Now, wait a minute. That means nothing to us because we read it. We don't think much of it. But I want you to understand what's being said here. Even though it's not being said, it's being said. Listen to what's being said. You see these words? He departed. Here's Elijah going after. He finds Elisha, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him. And he was with the 12th. Do you know what that means? That means something. And I'll tell you what it means. Elisha was a very, very, very rich man. In those days, when you had a piece of land, most people had a rock that was sharp and they plowed their fields on their knees, digging up the soil to get some kind of a harvest. If you were a rich man, you had a plow, but your family was the donkey or the oxen. They were human plows, and the humans would walk out in front, and they would pull that plow through the dirt. That's a rich man. A very rich man had an oxen or a donkey that would pull the plow. Very rich. But when you have 12 yoke, you have 24 oxen. And he was with the 12th, plowing the field. What this verse just said is Elisha was the Bill Gates of Israel. And a lot of people don't know that. His status quo and how life ought to be and how life is done and how he's been set up, that this is what life is all about, is that he is rich beyond wealth. Powerful, strong, with great authority and great influential expressions that changed the country of his place. And here comes this man of God that takes off his mantle and throws it on Elisha. And Elisha, the Bible says, left his oxen and went with him. Let me tell you something. God will challenge your personal status quo to take you to a new level, to take you into your own personal promised land. Because God's not finished with any of us yet. Is anybody listening? The last one, his voice will challenge. His voice will challenge to a response. You're going to have to respond one way or the other. Now listen to me. When the voice of the Lord is spoken and it challenges you to the place where you do not respond. Hear me one more time. When the voice of the Lord is spoken and it challenges you to the place where you do not respond. One more time. When the voice of the Lord is spoken and you are challenged to the place where you do not respond, you have just responded. So either way, whether you respond or not responding, you are responding. And it will challenge you to respond yes or no. And sometimes what you don't do speaks louder than what you do do. Are you following me? For a lot of us in here, our futures are dependent on this. What it says in Isaiah, that interesting verse in the 6th chapter, verse number 8, I'll just pop it up on the overhead, it says this, "And so I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us?" Stop right there. Here's God saying, "Whom shall I send and whom will go for us?" Can I ask you a question? Do you think God didn't know? God knows everything. When Adam and Eve were hiding in the garden and God said to Adam and Eve, "Where are you?" God knew just where he was. He was just asking the question to see if Adam and Eve knew where they were at. They're pretty much a mess. God knows everything. When God made that statement, and he said, "Whom shall I send?" He was waiting for a response. And he says, "Then I said, here I am, send me." Now listen, I do not want you to fly off the handle, quit your job, and try practicing being an astronaut. That's not what this message is about. This message is about hearing a challenging word from God. I found out something. You listen to me now, because in other words, you go doing crazy things and everybody's got to pick up the pieces after you. I found out that when God speaks and it's challenging, he gives you time to digest it and to prove itself over and over again so that you know that you know. Today, I'm going to give you 4 words on how this works. Jot it down. Number 1, you hear. Number 2, you trust. Number 3, you believe. Number 4, you open the door or do. 4 words. Everything you hear from God has that system to it, so that you don't go off quitting your day job and becoming a circus event for God somewhere. Are you following me? Because you can hear a message like this and fly off the handle, and God hadn't spoken to you, and all God was saying is that sometimes when he takes you to a promised place, it's a challenging word. And you need to be sensitive that that's because it's so challenging not to give up on God. And you need to test it by hearing it, trusting it, learning to believe it, and then do it. Is anybody listening? Five things today that God will challenge you in His challenging word that He challenged Israel with, but they would not do it and they never got into their promised land. And I refuse to pastor you without taking you to your own personal promised land. That's my job. Number one, challenge your personal security and comfort. Number two, He'll challenge your personal thinking. Number three, He'll challenge your personal ability. Number four, He'll challenge your status quo on how you think life ought to be and is setting you up. And number five, He'll challenge you to a response. One way or the other, you're going to have to respond. And when you do, it'll mean you enter into the promised land or you don't. If God spoke to you today, come on, give the Lord a great big praise. Will you do that?